This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Not exactly films worthy of Canton last night. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. But if you're a Vikings fan, you're happy because it's like a survive in advance kind of thing. Now tied with the Lions and the Philadelphia Eagles for the number one seed in the NFC, Perloff. Although the Lions would have the tiebreaker right now. And this is setting up for a wild finish here. And who's going to get not only that number one seed, get the bye, and Minnesota. Listen, I didn't think they were very impressive last night on the offensive side. But the Bears have so many problems that this looked like a walkover at the end.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like the Vikings played down to the Bears a little bit. They obviously were not very scared that the Bears offense was not going to score enough points to win that game. There's just no way. Because they had a new left tackle in who had all these crazy penalties or he got blown away by Jonathan Greenard. I think the Vikings are obviously not, they're not built like the other elite teams in the NFC. There's no doubt about it. I understand that. But I just think if they get a home game in the playoffs, they could win a playoff game and maybe even be in the NFC title game like they were with my guy Case Keenum in 2017. They don't look like a Super Bowl team. You're right about that, but I think you're dismissing them as a challenge in the playoffs, especially if they're at home. That is key for them.
Yeah, but I watched them blow a home game 2 years ago to the Giants. And granted, this is a better team defensively than that team and offensively, I guess. Well, it's a better team overall, but To me, if you're giving me the Lions, the Packers, and the Vikings, and who's going to make noise in these playoffs, even with all the injuries to the Lions, and even with some of the up and down play of the Packers, I'm still taking the Packers. I know that feels like you get labeled a Minnesota hater, a Sam Darnold hater. I didn't think Sam was that great last night.
Well, I think it all depends on the matchups, like who's going to see who here. It's really big. You want to probably avoid the Eagles if you have to go to Philadelphia. Like, that's nowhere you want to go. Yeah. Like, the Vikings, I'm sorry, an indoor team, like, going to the Link in December or January, that would be bad. I just think it's going to be really close. I see the last two rounds of the NFC playoffs being a lot of close games, kind of like last year's, where the Packers were right there with the Niners, the Lions were right there with the Niners. So your team right now is the Packers, both of our Super Bowl picks, by the way.
Yeah, both of our Super Bowl picks.
But how do you weigh them against the Eagles? I didn't hear your – you said that you think they're the team in the NFC North. I agree.
Yeah.
But the Eagles, if Green Bay has to go to Philly, I think they'll be underdogs.
Listen, feels like a million years ago, but I watched Philadelphia and Green Bay play in Brazil, and until Jordan Love got hurt, that was definitely a game. So I think that the Packers would be fine. They're an outdoor team going to the Link.
Love got hurt, I think, on the last
play. Yeah, at the very end.
Yeah, but the Eagles are a much better team than they were early in the year. They figured out a lot of things. Like, they basically stopped throwing the ball.
Passing game, but they literally just figured that out, apparently.
No. They just, like, they went from 38 pass attempts a game to 29 pass attempts a game and just changed everything. Like, they're much more physical, better team right now than they were back then. I think the Packers are, too, by the way.
I think the Packers have the defense to try to maybe contain Saquon Barkley. And I think on the offensive side, they would put up a much bigger fight than, say, the Pittsburgh Steelers did. I mean, the Packers offense has way more big play capability that by a power of 10. And I also think the coaching matchup favors Green Bay.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, that'd be interesting to see. Like, right now, the Eagles' defense seems very well coached.
They are dialed in right now. Yeah. I understand that.
I don't know about Kellen Moore. I'm not sure, like, how he would respond in this kind of spot. But I got to tell you, I feel like that Eagles' defense would give Jordan Love some trouble.
855-212-4227 if you want to weigh in on the positive side of this, of the winning teams in the NFC. But we also had some pretty lousy play last night as well. And, you know, Perloff, I think you and I are both kind of disappointed about how the rookie season for Caleb Williams is going. But where you and I disagree is I think Williams still shows that he has talent and could ultimately prove that he has talent. You're opening up the door that this just might be a bust of a pick and maybe a bust of a player.
I think Caleb Williams is going to be good. I don't know if it's going to be in Chicago. You saw plays last night where he relaxed and he showed that arm from USC. For example, there was a play where the Vikings jumped offside, so he knew he had a free play. He was relaxed and he slung it sort of sidearm 20 yards downfield. And at the end of the game, when the game didn't matter, he looked relaxed. But he is in his own head right now, and he is missing wide open passes. I know he's under pressure all night, but three or four opportunities to move the ball, and he just whiffed. And I don't know what's happening. I asked EJ this morning. I walked in and was like, did Caleb Williams do that at USC, and I just didn't notice it? Is he a wildly inaccurate passer? Because some of the misses aren't even close.
855-212-4227. See, my biggest issue is not actually with Caleb. My question is, this is like a Herculean effort, it feels like, to get the Bears to be a winner, especially in this division. And I'm looking at the coaching candidates that are out there, and I thought Bill Belichick actually would have been a very good spot, would have been a good fit, rather, in Chicago for a couple reasons. Troy Aikman talked about it last night on the broadcast, and he didn't even mean to talk about it in terms of Belichick, but it reminded me of Belichick, which is, the way that you actually learn how to play quarterback in the NFL is not by learning more offense. It's by learning to read defenses. And I think that Bill Belichick could help him with that. Sam Darnold credits Kyle Shanahan with helping him learn defenses. That's what Sam Darnold never got at the Jets. You know, an education, because in college, it's just not the same. And in the NFL, the defenses are a lot more sophisticated. And you saw Brian Flores was really confusing the hell out of Caleb Williams last night. And so, to me, a teacher is more what he needs as opposed to just a great play caller. And I'm looking at the guys who might be in the mix here for a head coaching opportunity in Chicago. Cliff Kingsbury, Ben Johnson, Bobby Slowick, maybe Joe Brady from the Bills. These guys who have very little experience, I guess outside of Cliff, but very little experience, but are known to be good play callers. Is that feels like a Band-Aid over a bullet wound. This dude needs to learn to read a defense.
Well, why is Jaden Daniels? Who taught him how to read a defense? I mean, he had the highest PFF grade.
Dan Quinn's the defense coordinator.
Yeah, come on. First of all, Jaden's just older and ready to go. I just think that maybe it's just different. Like, Cliff's does a nice job. I'm not sure. I understand what you're saying. Like, Bill Belichick didn't teach Mac Jones anything. He taught him how to not throw the ball at best. Like, so I think Bill Belichick's offenses were terrible in New England at the end. Just after Brady left,
but
it was bad, bad, bad.
That could have been a Mac Jones problem, too. Like, there could have been a lot of blame, as Jeff Howe, who covered the Patriots, joined us last week. We were talking about Belichick going to North Carolina. There was a lot of blame to kind of float around. And Cam Newton was at the end of the rope.
Bill Belichick's not an offensive guy. I mean, it's just the bottom line. Like, I can never see him having an explosive offense again. It's just...
You
not about how he wants to coach.
There's no correlation. I know Brady played in a pro-style offense when he was at Michigan or whatever, but there's no correlation between Tom Brady being one of the best ever to diagnose defenses and the fact that his head coach was Bill Belichick. You see no correlation to that whatsoever?
No.
Really?
I mean, obviously, that was all Brady. But
Bill
regardless
taught him
of,
nothing. Bill's I just mean, like at the so, getting a snack while
okay,
everybody
so you're saying,
else
you know,
is doing
by the way,
football.
I'll tell you, I like Joe Brady because Joe Brady brought the run game back to Buffalo and saved this franchise from sliding into oblivion. Let's be honest. Like, just to de-emphasize Diggs last year and start handing the ball off, that's changed everything. I mean, how many games in a row is he? What's the record since he's took over? They've lost like three games.
Yeah, and also Joe Brady was responsible for calling a quarterback sneak in a time, in a moment in the Rams game when that was the absolute wrong call. So,
that's one call. Generally, he's transformed. That's one play. He's transformed that Bills offense in a really positive way.
It's totally fine. I'm just telling you, you have no idea what these guys are like until they're in the big chair. And if I'm the Bears, I've done this with Nagy and with Eberflus, and I've taken these coordinators who have never been head coaches before, and I've watched them completely flounder.
Well, Eberflus was a defensive guy, so let's say Nagy was pretty okay. I mean, he made the playoffs with Mitchell Trubisky. He should get a Hall of Fame consideration for that.
Fair.
I think Nagy won Coach of the Year, right? So let me ask you this. Who do you want as coach? Belichick's gone. He's at UNC. Give me another name.
It's going to be hard because I don't think...
The other name is Vrabel, who everybody's
going to
want.
Who everybody wants, and I think Vrabel would be great.
Oh, God, Vrabel. You're going to recreate Ryan Tannehill? Please.
They'd be lucky to get Vrabel.
If they hire Mike Vrabel, then I think that Sunday Ticket should take the Bears off TV because they're going to recreate the Titans.
Listen, Mike Vrabel had a number one seed in the AFC. You know, Mike Vrabel went into Baltimore and beat the Ravens. Here's the thing. I want somebody who I know can do this job. Matt Eberflus couldn't do the job. Nagy couldn't do the job. What's up?
You want a retread.
I want someone with experience. You want to call it a retread? I'll say experience. Listen, I think if Mike McCarthy got fired, they should look at him. Say what you want about McCarthy. He's not Mr. X's and O's, but can he develop a young quarterback? Definitely. So I think the Bears need someone with experience.
So let me just get you on the record with this.
Yes, I'm on the record.
If the Bears are hiring a coach this offseason and Ben Johnson says, I will come there, and Mike McCarthy says, I will come there, you would take Mike McCarthy?
Yes. I don't know diddly squat about Ben Johnson as a head coach.
Yeah, you know.
And by the way, he has one of the best offensive lines in football. He's got multitude of weapons. He's got a quarterback that the league had given up on who had a massive chip on his shoulder. Things went pretty right for Ben Johnson here. And Dan Campbell sets the culture. So things have gone very right here for Ben Johnson. The next, no matter where he goes, the next stop, if he becomes a head coach, it's not all going to look that perfect.
I hate to say, how do you know that those units are elite? Maybe it's because the play calls are so good. Jared Goff, how do we know Jared Goff isn't playing this great because of Ben Johnson? How do we know that's not such a great line? It wasn't that great a line before he got there. And Amon-Ra St. Brown's a fourth-round pick. It's not I'm just saying, that could be the coaching, too.
Well, you've said it yourself. You think Brad Holmes, their general manager, picks nothing but winners in the draft.
I will tell you, there is a thing where the Lions, it didn't really happen against the Bills. The Lions line up, and you don't know where they're going to hit you from. Somebody's calling amazing plays.
855-212-4227. Okay, so you can weigh in on the Bears. Is this salvageable? And who is the person to save it?
And by the way, that was not a pro-Ben Johnson take when I guffawed at you. That was an anti-Mike McCarthy take. I feel very comfortable in saying that. You're going to give McCarthy his third job with Caleb Williams? That's your future?
The way Perloff looked at me, he looked like Jim Halpert on The Office. When you said you take McCarthy over.
A little
John
sideways.
Krasinski,
No. That was definitely and you know what I'm talking about, Maggie. There's not a lot of Mike McCarthy stands out there right now.
Well, listen, sometimes you can't just go for the shiny object, okay? Sometimes you can't be blinded.
Can you get a little shinier than Mike McCarthy coming off a failed stint in Dallas?
Listen, when they go to Cliff Kingsbury, just don't say I didn't warn you when they go to Cliff Kingsbury because of people like Perloff who want some kind of, it's got to be offense, offense, offense. Meanwhile, everything's broken there. I mean, there's a couple pieces on the defense, but...
At the very least, Cliff will call some play actions to get some easy throws for Caleb Williams. That's one thing Cliff can do. At least the ceiling, he's not going to win a Super Bowl, but he's going to get Caleb to 25 touchdowns.
Here's another question. Do you think Caleb is headed down the path of Trevor Lawrence? Trevor Lawrence was the last person we talked about being generational, can't miss, tank for him.
I mean.
And look at Trevor now. It's been... just wildly inconsistent. His first year was basically just a total bust because Urban Meyer couldn't have been worse. And then they had a good second season, all-time great comeback in a playoff game, took Kansas City down to the wire in the second round of the playoffs, and then it's fallen apart again.
Yeah, I was thinking more the guy that you're worried about is Zach Wilson, not Trevor Lawrence. If you get Trevor Lawrence, you can work with that dude. I mean, Trevor Lawrence at least has a high passer rating and good numbers, I just don't. I'm not sure Caleb's going to be able to do that in Chicago.
855-212-4227. All right. So you're welcome to weigh in on the football side of this whole thing, especially in Chicago. Get more into the Raiders. Lost again last night. Now they have the inside track on the number one overall pick. Saw the sign. Just tank, baby. Don't worry. You can't tell the difference.
They've got that covered.
The tanking or just straight up losing. Whether it's on purpose or not.
Well, look at that quarterback.
Yeah, it was rough. Ritter, not.
I mean, you went into the season with a Gardner Minshew, Aiden O'Connell combo. None of this is a surprise.
New definition of poo-poo platter.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, a holiday question for you guys, and I'm told that Deborah in Colorado has the answer. My in-laws all send each other links for gifts. Like, there's no surprises. You just, I want this sweater, these gloves, this book, all the stuff. It's just, and my family is the opposite. We surprise each other. We don't tell each other what we want. Deborah has a thought for me. Good morning, Deborah.
Well, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for making it. What's on your mind?
Okay. All right. So this all started when my kids were teenagers, and same thing. Mom, I want this, and I want that. And Maggie, you are so right. Thanks. Oh, yeah, surprise. Thanks so much. And I went, this is not what Christmas is. We got to surprise them. So my husband and I decided to do a gag gift. Okay? They're now in their 40s. This is now the treasured gift of Christmas. They can't wait to see what we got. So this year, the grandkids are getting to the age where we're going to start doing gag gifts. Now, let me give you some suggestions. These got to be gifts that are off the wall, all right? So an example this year, my 13-year-old granddaughter, I was out in an Asian market and found a jar of grass jelly. What the heck is grass jelly? So guess what? That's going to be her gag gift. I go to thrift stores. I go to, you know, garage sales. I'll be out somewhere and go, what is that thing? And now it's become this gag gift. Tabletop toys that you buy at the dollar store. It doesn't have to be expensive. You don't want it to be expensive because it's going to break in 2 minutes anyway. But this now is the treasure gift. So start surprising your in-laws this year with something goofy.
Oh, Deborah.
Pretty soon it's going to be, let's draw names to see what gag gift we can buy Uncle Joe or whoever. And I'm telling you what, I just saw a video from 95 of my kids opening their gag gift, and there was a brand new bike under the tree. That got no attention as much as the bag of black fungus that I had found somewhere or something. So there you go. Start doing a gag gift, and you'll become Aunt Maggie is the best at Christmas.
All right, Deborah, wow. I mean, that's pro advice. That's pro tips right there. I'm literally taking notes as you're talking. It's a great idea. Gag gifts, Pearl. Whoopee cushions, weird stuff. Picture of a cat hanging from a tree. Says hang in there. I don't know, something silly. What?
Pearl of Halpert just again, another look at me like, what is Maggie talking about?
I don't know. I just picture, like, she has very nice kids who pretended, oh boy, here comes a gag gift. We have to, like, muster up the energy to pretend this is funny still.
Oh. Ow.
Ow.
So you wouldn't like a Michael Carter Williams jersey?
Sometimes I don't even want to be associated with you. That is terrible. Deborah's kids love the gag gift.
Deborah's kids want the new bike. They didn't care about the bag of fungus. They're very nice kids. Deborah raised kids the right way. They're polite. They're like, oh God, the gag gift. Here we go.
She said I'm gonna be the hit now of Christmas. If I do what? The ice cubes with the pretend fly in the middle.
All right. Let's just say hypothetically there's two aunts. One aunt brings a brand new like PS5 or something. The other brings a bag of fungus. Which one is the weird aunt and which one is the cool aunt?
When you put it that way.
Also, what kind of gag gift do you get a 6-year-old nephew?
Isn't everything a gag for a 6-year-old?
I think they would understand like a whoopee cushion now. They probably, I mean, they're old enough to get a fart joke.
I feel like you'd be good at this, Maggie, because your sense of humor is
pretty juvenile.
Know, yes.
I'll say it so you don't have to.
Very sophomore.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I love the physical comedy, fart jokes, poop jokes. Yeah, I know. I think you got to give him a D.
Yeah.
Manny and I share a brain.
Wait, are you guys are down with Deborah's philosophy?
I think if you do a gag gif and a real gif, I could play along with this. I think if you're only doing, which I think is what Deborah was saying, if you're only doing the gag gift,
no, I think she's saying both. I think she was saying both.
Yeah, she's saying both. But I just also, that's amazing. I know she was just saying like a for instance, but when she said bag of fungus, my mind went to some weird places.
Yeah, where do you find that?
This thing sounds like something Aaron Rodgers would eat in the Costa Rican rainforest to trip on ayahuasca. Is that fungus?
I just had this image of Kristen Wiig playing the sort of that. You know, Kristen Wiig on Saturday Night Live played that character of the woman at the Target checkout line. She's like, ooh, a jar of grass jelly. Isn't this wild? That was in my head.
I think it's a good idea. I'm going to do it.
I think you should. I think you'd be good at it. I think you'd find some very weird, off beaten path things.
What small business is doing these kind of gag gifts?
That's
though?
A good
because,
question.
Yeah, you're not going on. You're not giving Elon some money here.
I'm not Elon. Not Bezos. I mean, obviously, I'm watching Thursday Night Football, so Bezos is getting the money, and I'm watching everything. But I'm trying to buy local. There's got to be a place.
Oh my God, I don't want to be related to you. Well, I honestly, like, I'm telling you right now, your nephews and nieces are disappointed in you, Maggie. Like, why won't this lady go on Amazon like everybody else?
I have regular gifts for them, but I think this is right. I can start to quietly mold their sense of humor, sort of bend it to my liking.
That's true, too.
Like, if I could get them into the fart jokes and stuff, then maybe I've got little allies in the future.
Watching Caddyshack 2 together.
Exactly. They don't even know who Jackie Mason is yet. I've failed as an aunt.
Cut this out of the podcast.
855-212-4227. Thank you, Deborah. I appreciate it. And I will get gag gifts this year along with the regular gifts for the kids. Okay, coming up. This is the only hope that the Raiders have of legitimacy. I'll tell you what it is next. M&P.
That, of course, is Kristen Wiig playing the Target lady because Maggie is now getting her shopping advice from Deb, who's awesome in Colorado, who says that you got to get a gag gift.
Along with a regular gift.
Yes, like grass jelly.
Grass jelly, maybe some kind of whoopee cushion, because my in-laws, they send each other links to gifts, so there's no surprise whatsoever. So Deb called in to give me some good advice to start doing gag gifts along with the regular gifts.
Do you know any young kids or teenagers? They've grew up with their devices in their hands. They're very specific. They're not like children of the 80s and 90s who like Caddyshack movies. Like, that is not their jam at all. They are very, very much about video games, and like, they're very digital. So I would be careful about like trying to recreate like Christmas family vacation here.
Well, but here's the thing. I'm getting to kids now who are still pretty young, who can be molded. I've got the 7-year-old nephew, a 5-year-old son.
That 7-year-old is better on every digital device that you'll ever touch. He knows more. I tell you, they
like hacked into the
in the womb now. They're better on most digital devices than my parents are. So yeah, you're like 7. You know how sophisticated he probably is?
He has fixed a couple things on the PC.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? Like, I just find...
So what, did you get him a bottle of scotch and, like, some leather-bound books? What do you mean?
Wall Street Journal subscription?
You have an 11-year-old son, right?
My daughter, who's 13, made a Google Slides presentation of her Christmas list.
My daughter's the same exact thing. Yeah.
No surprises there.
Yeah. Nope. Let me guess. A lot of Sephora.
Not Sephora specific, but
Sephora and Brandy Melville are like the mothership for 13-year-old girls. Brandy Melville, the clothing store. Yeah, I just don't see it. I don't get that energy that kids want to be surprised.
Well, when my family is cracking up after they get a bag of ants or whatever, I don't know what I'm going to get, shards of glass.
Do you remember though when you were a kid and your aunt or your uncle would get you a present? Oh God, and you had to pretend you liked it? That was a rough time.
You also can kind of split it.
Talks like this like he was a nom. God. You wouldn't have been there.
Yes, I just remember so many, like, as a 9 or 10-year-old, just faking that you like this present from your relatives. It's the worst.
Well, one of the biggest lessons from my kids was how to handle getting something they already have.
Oh, what do you do?
Because they'd be like, I already have that. And like, push it aside. Like, we got to be a little nicer to Aunt Carrie.
So, swiping left?
Yeah.
Another Etch-a-Sketch.
Yeah, more sweatpants. Great.
Yeah, I mean, I just think we have to acknowledge that technology has completely ruined culture.
No, but there's nothing wrong with, like, you don't have to get everything on the list, but there's nothing wrong with making suggestions. And then you can still throw on a surprise. It doesn't need to be a bag of poop. It could just be, I saw this shirt. I thought you'd like it.
One of those flaming bags again. Great line from Billy Madison. 855-212-4227. AJ's in California. AJ, help me.
Hey, Maggie. Hey, my family does this every year. We do the gag gift as well as a regular gift. But our favorite one that we've passed around for the last 15 or 18 years is a signed photograph of a Raider player, you know, who was the number one draft pick a long time ago, Jamarcus Russell. And that's the gag gift that we never know who's going to get it each year because we do a secret Santa. And that one's been going around now for 15 or 18 years, and we're looking forward to see who gets it next week and hangs it in their garage.
Oh, AJ, I love that as a family tradition, a signed Jamarcus Russell photograph. You know what would be fun about that is trying to wrap it up in a box or something, a shape that doesn't give away that it's the photograph. I'm assuming it's in a frame.
Should make it in the shape of Jamarcus Russell.
I'd be a little bloated.
I think there's a chance that this photo is the voodoo doll that is why the Raiders have been terrible.
Someone find that photo and burn it.
Yeah, we need to do what we did with the Carson Wentz poster.
Which was destroy it for charity. Mark is in Santa Cruz. Mark, do you guys also do gag gifts?
What's that?
Do you guys also do gifts?
No, we don't do. No, you know, we don't do gag gifts. Sorry, but the reason why is because that's really kind of a ripoff of the white elephant game.
Which, yeah. Mark, we are going to be. Thank you for the call. We're going to be doing that white elephant right here on the show live on Friday.
Yeah, do you guys have your gifts yet?
Nope.
I bought mine yesterday.
No. Do not.
Yeah, I'm. We might have to push it to Monday. Is everyone here Monday? I got nothing so far.
Monday, like 2025? Monday 25? It's a gag gift. It's a silly gift.
So I'm actually going to buy something good. People are going to want my gift.
We generally...
What? You got Philly socks last year. Nobody wanted that.
Except for poor Bogush got saddled with them and then kept them in the packaging.
$15 is challenging, though. I was thinking about it. I was going to actually go on Amazon because I'm not an idealist like yourself. He's trying to shop local.
Trying to do one Amazon-free Christmas, and it's a challenge. It's a challenge.
That is crazy.
It's not so much about Amazon.
Do you have a landline? What is going on here?
I got a landline.
I was trying to do small businesses, you know?
Well, they have websites, too, though.
They do.
Yeah.
No, you can buy, like, on... Yes, I've had to order things on the computer, but I'm trying not to... I'm trying to go a little like to more mom and pops shop.
Yeah, right. Get out of here. You
can look at my credit card savings.
Where in my there's no mom and pop shops out in New Jersey. New Jersey's like nothing but strip malls.
You got to keep going a little bit further. Strip malls and drones, guys. Strip malls and drones.
And bad football.
Is Target a mom and pop shop? Like, what is happening?
Yeah, I'll tell you the one mom and pop that has really taken most of my money. It's a little company called FedEx. Get to Bogush with some headlines. Hey, Bogus.
These headlines sponsored by PXG Golf. For high-quality, high-performance golf clubs, apparel that delivers style and comfort, premium golf balls, award-winning gloves, and more, make it a PXG holiday for the golfer in your life. Find the PXG store near you at PXG.com. Well, I was a cute cart girl at a golf course in high school.
The Falcons were kind of in must-win territory. Last night in Vegas, they had to beat the lowly Raiders to keep the Bucs within reach atop the NFC South. They did win, but it was too close for comfort.
Ritter to throw. Second down. Steps up. Uncorks it. Towards the end zone. It is deflected. Diving for it. A body, a scrum, and it's intercepted. It is picked off in the end zone, and Atlanta survives a major scare.
Kevin Kugler on Westwood One. Atlanta finally winning a 15-9 thriller to snap a four-game skid and remain a game behind Tampa Bay. That pick was the D's third takeaway. They also recorded a safety. The offense got another lackluster performance, though, from Kirk Cousins.
I think it's always just decision-making, you know, so that you're not putting the ball in harm's way and not trying to be too aggressive. I think that's really the key, not you know, protecting the football.
Yeah, that's why Cousins threw just 11 for 17, 112 yards, a TD, and a pick. That's his first passing score in five games. His old friend in Minnesota won again last night, 30-12 over the Bears. That's seven in a row for the Vikings. But Sam Darnold says they could be much better.
Felt like we didn't play exactly the way that we wanted to on offense tonight. Can be a lot better in a lot of ways, but we got the job done, and that's all that matters.
Darnold throwing for just 231 and a score to Justin Jefferson. Their team now matches the Lions at 12-2, but Detroit
has the tiebreaker for now through a head-to-head win. I told Taylor and Trav about this at the birthday party. Dave Clawson is the only D1 football coach ever to lead four programs to 10-win seasons. Wake Forest,
is that guy?
Bowling Green, Richmond, and Fordham. Clawson stepping down as Wake head coach after 11 seasons. Yesterday, he'll remain on for now as an advisor.
Wow, Fordham. No wonder. I was like, where is this going? Fordham.
It got there.
Your school.
And then Manny cursed.
Yeah, what was that? You might want to edit that one a little tighter.
That's there's too many syllables audible in that one.
Who's taking over Wake Forest? Like Mike Shanahan? Now that the ACC is the place for all the most accomplished coaches.
Well, if they wait till June 1st, it would only take $1 million to get Belichick out of North Carolina.
Well, I
they
know.
Could go that route.
Right, so that's the Belichick's clause so we can get back to the NFL, right?
That's what it seems like, right?
It's a weird clause, though, because the buyout drops to $1 million, which is reasonable, extremely reasonable, before he would have even coached a game.
And it's 10 mil right now, as if they're afraid in 3 weeks the Jets or somebody's going to come calling. And so like they are fearful of him leaving in the NFL cycle, but then as of June, they have no fears, so the buyout is nothing, and he can because he's never going to leave. It doesn't make sense.
So it kind of feels like a 1 year thing, possibly. So to me, that's interesting. Like, who's their quarterback?
But it's
like,
not they even get 1 year; it's 6 months.
Well, I know, but you said the coaches will be higher in the NFL by the time it goes down to $1 million.
Yeah, but then it's $1 million for the rest of the time there, which any time that anyone could pay that.
You can't hire an NFL head coach in June, though.
You could do it the year after. Or
yeah, that's
any
what I'm
other
saying.
Time.
That's why you have 1 year in North Carolina.
Yeah,
you really think he's one and done at North Carolina?
I mean, yes, I think there's a chance he jumps even before the season starts, but yeah, probably one and done.
But we were told that no one in the NFL wants him, so why does he need any buyout right now?
Because as Maggie keeps pointing out, like some of these coaching hires are going to look ridiculous after they fail next year. Because that's what bad teams do. They make bad coaching decisions.
By the way, if that one of those Desmond Ridder Hail Marys connects last night, the Raheem Morris coaching hire would have looked ridiculous because they could have had Belichick at the Falcons and decided to pass. Now, lucky for them, neither of those Hail Marys did connect.
Again, I don't know. Like, does that spell Super Bowl winner Bill Belichick down in Atlanta? That seems like
what
a flawed roster.
Maybe.
I'm not sure what the perfect fit is, but I do. One and done sure seems plausible. Would that shock anybody?
It would not, but it would, you know, he's got to coach a game there. can't just say, all right, you know, I'm going back. Although Belichick did say, and we have this, we're going to do this story, that he believes that if he waited out this coaching cycle, if he had not taken the North Carolina job, that he probably would have gotten an offer. I don't see it that way. I think he's got to coach again to get an offer.
I think
that's
he could.
The way it's trending. No,
I think he might have. I wouldn't rule it out. I think he goes 8-3 at North Carolina, good year, and then he seriously considers going back to the NFL because I have been giving you a hard time. But you're right; there are a lot of teams who could do way worse than Bill Belichick.
Definitely. I mean, listen, Jim Harbaugh, up until he actually won the title at Michigan, was interviewing with NFL teams like every year.
Yeah.
Now, I always thought that was just to get more money out of Michigan, but. He could flirt with the NFL a couple different times, Belichick. He's just a little older than Harbaugh.
Because of Belichick's age, I think he needs a win-now team. Like, he can't do a rebuild. So maybe the right opportunity will come up next year. Say there's a team that's right on the brink, like the Eagles, have all the talent in the world, but they, like, can't do Sirianni anymore after a year.
Yeah,
that's, like,
Bills.
The perfect spot for Belichick. Yeah, your Bills.
What if my Bills lose again to the Chiefs or something?
To me, don't bring him to Chicago or Atlanta, like a team that needs a guy for 10 years. Bring him to come in and win immediately. I'm sorry we're discounting Tar Heel football, by the way.
NBA last night, James Harden scored 24 points in the first quarter. He had 34 by halftime, 41 total in the Clippers, 144-107 destruction of the Jazz. The Sixers got 40 from Tyrese Maxey, 33 from Paul George in a 121-108 win in Charlotte. And Miami erased a 19-point second-half hole before losing an OT in Detroit, 125-124. Vermont won the men's soccer national title last night, 2-1 in OT over Marshall. It is the first team national title in school history.
Manny, where do they play?
Vermont.
Yeah. No, the Vermont-Marshall soccer rivalry, I mean, that's basically the Ohio State-Michigan. I was reading about this.
It's the other game.
UVM hasn't lost a game right this year. Like, they become a thing, UVM soccer. I can barely follow it. I don't understand college soccer that well. But that is getting a lot of headlines, and I'm not sure why. That's all I mean, I can add.
If you could have given me 100 guesses on what UVM athletics, what their signature sport would have been, I mean,
Well, remember
ultimate
that
frisbee?
No, he would have gotten men's basketball.
Right, remember that guy Taylor Coppenrath or something? They made a run.
Tom Brennan, they run America East. You would have gotten there.
I know, because they play against the Binghamton Bearcats.
That's true.
Often.
They had one good NCAA tournament year. They had like a 6'8 shooter who was really good.
They had that famous T.J. Sorrentine shot over to beat Syracuse. You know, that was like a 3-14 game.
That was
a long time ago.
The one that surprised me, Marshall's good at soccer?
I know that Marshall's good at soccer. I didn't know that Vermont was good at soccer.
Where's North Carolina and all these
Where's UCLA?
Yeah. Where's exactly?
When I think of the University of Vermont, does anyone else? Don't you just think of fish and
Ben and Jerry's?
Yeah, people just barefoot in the woods,
totally
smoking a lot of pot.
Yeah, no, I don't think of sports at all.
Sorry, I don't want to just distill that fine institution down to I don't know, some kind of stereotype. All right, 855-212-4227. Somewhere out there, there's a Catamounts fan that's very upset with us right now. 855-212-4227. Okay, we have lots more to do, including, again, the only hope for the Raiders. It's actually very simple. It's right in front of their faces. All they got to do is just the right thing. It's right there. We'll tell you what it is next.
All right, the Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. I just realized when Manny got in my ear and said, EJ's not back in the room yet. EJ, our executive producer, picks the Defensive Player of the Week, and usually we have some entertaining chit-chat about who we may pick, but I have a choice.
Well, I said to Manny, do you know who it is? He goes, no. I go, well, then you better pick somebody. And in my ear, he goes, OG Anunoby. So OG Anunoby is the defensive player of the week, according to Manny.
I got a good one. Now, it wasn't a defensive play that he earned this for, but Tavondre Sweat, the Titans lineman, when he stiff-armed a guy, I can't remember who he stiff-armed. In the Bengals game. He ripped the ball out of Joe Burrow's hands. Was rumbling down the field. They're actually showing it on NFL Network right now. This guy's got to be
the biggest person you've ever seen.
After lunch, he's 395. And he stiff-armed a guy. He's running. He's making moves.
That boy's thick.
93. It is so entertaining. I don't know if that's is that a defensive play? Because if you want to Micah Parsons was dominant. That's the one that jumped to mind, too. But I think the Tavondre Sweat return deserves acknowledgement. You got any candidates?
He's 6'4", 366. And what did you say, 395 after lunch?
Yeah. No, he is big. This is just a wonderful, wonderful play. I feel really bad for the Bengals guy who's probably 295. He looked like you're playing with your kid or something. Anyway, that's my choice, Tavondre Sweat with Micah Parsons as the backup. You got one?
I like that one. EJ, who is it?
I left the hint for you guys in yesterday's NFL in 60, but seems like you didn't pick up what I was leaving. So defensive player of the week this week is Derek Stingley, who had two picks in the Texans win over the Dolphins, including a highlight reel pick, taking the ball away from Tyreek Hill in the final drive that sealed Tua's fate. That was his third pick of the game. Derek Stingley, stud, defensive player of the week, Navy Federal.
Great choice, because he has been awesome. We've been talking about some of the fallout from the games last night, the Monday night games, and while Minnesota's got designs on the number one overall seed in the NFC and maybe a deep playoff run, there's teams that are just floundering. The Bears are one of them. Perloff thinks that Caleb Williams is on his way to becoming a bust.
That's not exactly what I said.
It's in so many words.
It's not. Come on. I don't want that to be cut. Like, I'm saying, like, the bust potential is huge here, and I see his success being somewhere else. I just, unless the Bears get this right, and I don't think the structure of the front office is going to get it right, so I don't see it working in Chicago. I think he's probably a Pro Bowler elsewhere.
Well, the Bears are, you know, one of the original franchises. There's so much great history there, and to be honest, the Raiders, who also lost last night in a one-score game against the Falcons, are one of those fan bases that are coast-to-coast. A lot like the Steelers, a lot like the Cowboys, one of those really famous franchises where you'll always meet a Raider fan. You don't have to be in Oakland or San Francisco or Vegas. So, or LA. So I was thinking about them last night as I'm watching them just be terrible. I mean, they're just bad. And what's going to change? And right now they have the number one overall pick in the draft. So sure, take Shador, take Cam Ward, whoever, you know, is your fancy. They've got to hope that Tom Brady, as one of the new minority owners, can be as insightful in the front office as he was on the field, Perloff. And we don't have a lot of evidence that says great players necessarily make great general managers. Some you do, like the Ozzie Newsomes and stuff like that, who are great players and phenomenal in the front office. John Lynch, great player, looks like a great general manager. Others.
Elway won one Super Bowl, then had some mixed results. But
yeah, Elway couldn't find a quarterback, though, until Peyton Manning basically decided to come to Denver. But that aside, they got to hope that Tom Brady is the not-so-secret weapon, because they don't have a clue. This team makes no sense. And I don't have a lot of faith in Tom Telesco, who is a longtime GM of the Chargers, who's now involved. They decide to go with Antonio Pierce because Davante Adams thought it was a good idea. He's gone. And Max Crosby liked him. Max Crosby's hurt. I just don't trust this team at all. And the only hope they have is if Tom Brady comes in there and has some kind of magic touch.
This seems like fantastical thinking, magical thinking, that Tom Brady's going to say.
Wishful thinking.
I mean, you watched the game last night. I did see there was a lot of Mark Davis pictures. Like, if he's the owner, I just don't see it happening. And I'm sorry, I don't think Tom Brady can have that much influence. It just feels like they're so far away. There was a funny moment, I think you might have seen this too, where they show Tom Telesco sitting up in the booth, and immediately the announcers start talking about Tom Brady. Like, Telesco is an afterthought. Yeah. They're like, oh, by the way, that was Tom Telesco, who is just the most generic-looking guy. I think this idea that Brady's going to save all this is ridiculous. I mean, he's a minority owner. He's not the GM. He's not Jerry Jones. He's not picking the players. And also, what picking players? They're going to have the one or two pick. They're going to pick either Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward. What is Tom Brady? It's a coin flip. What is Tom Brady going
to
do here?
Oh, there's lots of decisions that have to be made with the Raiders. And by the way, reportedly Tom Brady is going to be involved in the draft pick. So I don't know how much tape he's going to be grinding. At least he can meet with the players. I don't know. But they need a head coach. Tom Brady should be involved in that.
Well, who's he going to bring? Josh McDaniels? Like, what's Tom Brady's decision? Like, why? Again, like, great players don't necessarily pick great coaches.
This is why the Raiders have to hope that Brady's going to buck the trend. Because you're saying, oh, he's just a minority owner. What could he do? Let's not pretend like he's any other minority owner.
He's not Vince Carter buying into the Bills.
Like, he actually has a brain that could be tapped into to try to help this team.
Well, I think the Bills should rely heavily on Vinsanity, first of all, and Tracy McGrady, which is the greatest minority ownership stake of any team of all time.
Yeah, not a lot of winning between those two, though.
Oh, what are you talking about? Vince Carter made Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals.
Cool.
No. You can slander anybody. If you're going to talk about T-Mac and Vince Carter, I just don't want to hear it. Anyway, Tom Brady, he's got to fight a lot of dysfunction in that front office. And, like, look at his coaching friends. Like, who's he going to hire? Bruce Arians?
Maybe.
He didn't even like him at the end.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe Byron Leftwich comes back around.
Oh,
I have no idea.
Louise.
But here's the thing. Yeah, it can't be a Belichick disciple because all of them famously fail, except for, I guess, Bill O'Brien, who doesn't have a terrible record as a head coach, who would probably jump at the opportunity. So again, I know the track record's not there. I know that Derek Jeter didn't help the Miami Marlins very much. I know that Wayne Gretzky wasn't a great coach with the Phoenix Coyotes. I know Magic Johnson wasn't an awesome GM. He quit the Lakers because he wanted to be Magic Johnson more than he wanted to be the GM of the Lakers. I get it's a mixed bag, but this is the hope for the Raiders, that Tom Brady comes in with a couple fresh ideas, a fresh perspective, and just a thought about how to get this thing an identity for this team, because they've got nothing right now.
Yeah, I mean, also, the one thing that they really have working against them is this division. I mean, you got Andy Reid, Jim Harbaugh, and Sean Payton. So I think you have to be patient. I would go with a young guy and try and build, like, kind of like, I always say Sean McVay. Like, Sean McVay came into the Rams and just reversed things immediately. Something like that. I would take a big swing here.
Isn't Sean McVay aren't we learning that maybe he was a bit of the outlier?
I don't know. Shanahan turned around the Niners real fast. Like, I mean, it's more like the turnarounds, like a lot of, I personally think like it's a young man's game. I would go for the 35-year-old wunderkind, Mike Tomlin. Like a lot, I think of those guys, like, where's the 65-year-old who comes in and saves the day, unless the team's ready to go? Andy Reid is maybe the outlier, not Sean McVay.
855-212-4227. Do you have any faith that Brady can help the Raiders now that he's a minority owner? Also coming up, interesting comments from Penn State head coach James Franklin. We'll get to the college ranks. We've got college football playoff games happening in 4 days. 17th.